The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Ted Blackstone, Tim Kalishaw, Woody Page, Clinton Yates. Clinch. Walk. Three balks in one at bat, leading to an ejection. Pennant races are heating up, but also the four walks the Blue Jays gave Judge last night. Woo! Let's go around the horn. That's inserting yourself into something in the role of villain. And I think I'm here for it.
You'll get the walks right.
Blue Jays are playing for a playoff spot. They should be pitching around. Yankees clinching the AL East, Cardinals the NL Central. Let's start with St. Louis. Fourth most wins in the NL, but division champs. Last 2 months, this team really putting it together, Tim Kalishaw. Around the horn, too. How do these Cardinals, you've seen, stack up against the defending champion Atlanta Braves, now tied for first in the NL East. The New York Mets still in first in the NL East. And those Los Angeles Dodgers.
The National League is loaded, and so it's going to be a tough road to travel, but I would never put anything past the Cardinals in October. You got Goldschmidt and Arenado leading the National League in slugging. You got Goldschmidt leading the National League in OPS. And there's just something about that team. It doesn't really matter who's wearing those uniforms. There's a reason they have the most World Series titles of any National League team. They find weird ways sometimes to win, but this team has been really good for 3 months. The Brewers spent more time in first place in that division, but once the Cardinals caught fire in midsummer, there was really no stopping them, and they're playing at the same level as the best teams in baseball.
What was it that turned the team around, you know, mid-June into July into August? Woody Page, maybe you could start us there.
Oh, yes, I will. Molina had been hurt, and he is the captain of that team. He is the force behind the plate. I mean that literally and figuratively, and Pujols came out of nowhere. People thought he was just on a goodbye tour, and he suddenly started hitting home runs. He started being in the lineup on a daily basis. Those two veterans who may be in their last years, who knows, they might come back, but you add them to what Tim was talking about with Arenado and Goldschmidt, who could finish 1-2 in the MVP in the National League. Since the All-Star game, they've had the second best record in baseball. I think that when you ask the question about the emergence of Pujols and Molina late in the season, that gave an added dimension to what they were accomplishing.
Clinton Yates, look at the NL for me. Give me the rankings. And where do the Cardinals fit in that?
Well, to answer your first question, I think it's Quintana and Montgomery coming to bolster that pitching staff at the trade deadline that really gave them some stability that made this team a little different. They're still known to to sometimes have scoring droughts that I think are going to be a problem. But I think what matters the most here, Tony, is the matchup situation. They would be, if the playoffs started right now, up against the Phillies. The Phillies can barely beat the Cubs, and they're a team that's been in free fall for quite some time. So when you think about what the Cardinals do from all of the lore of the team and all that, yeah, that's a factor. But the matchup there, I think, bodes well for St. Louis.
And Kevin Black. Stone.
Well, I would just go back to something Tim mentioned. That's just the consistency of the Cardinals, which is why you can never count them out in October, no matter what the matchup is going to be. And one of the things that strikes me about the Cardinals is how clean a baseball they play. They do not beat themselves. They will find
the
a way to beat you. They
lead way. The, yes, they, of course.
Exactly. You can look right there in the stats. They lead the league in the fewest errors committed. So they're going to be clean behind the mound. So that's what always gives them a chance. They're not going to beat themselves. And as we pointed out, I mean, they have the pop in that lineup that can explode on you at any time, and they get a lead, they're not going to give it up.
And that's what you're seeing from the Cardinals, seeing very clearly with those new specs you're wearing. And look at the lenses there. I mean, are there even lenses in those glasses? That's how clean those are. Unbelievable. Kalishaw, last word on St. Louis, please.
You know, the last World Series they won, 2011, a memorable series against the Rangers. Pujols and Molina were veterans then. That was 11 years ago. And they're
so you're
still,
saying they have experience. Said, they're experienced.
They're still getting it done.
Has experience. Incredible. That's exactly right. If we had time, I would ask you to break down Lars Nootbaar and his celebration yesterday, walking around with a microphone and doing your job for you. But in the meantime, you'll just get mutes because Lars elevated it to an art form. Well done, Lars. We'll move on. Now the Yankees. How about the Blue Jays last night? I said they're playing villains. They're playing for a playoff spot. They should be making the best idea or pitching around Judge with games on the line. That's what they did. Four walks for Judge. We'll get to that in a second. But the Yankees, to have been able to put off collapse. Because there was a time where it looked like 15-plus games was going to fall apart. Never got inside three. But somehow felt closer. Clint Yates around the horn to you. What is the expectation now the Yankees have clinched the division?
To be clear, my expectation for this team was never World Series or bust. I just don't like the brand of baseball they play. However, I think that morale is as high for this clubhouse as it's been in a long time. You mentioned how it went from a 15-game lead to a 3-game lead. They jumped in with a little 7-game stretch there, even though they lost to the Blue Jays the other night. But here's the thing that struck me most. Booney said, after a game, he said, listen, the fact that Judge was on that tear, it actually loosened up a lot of the players to be able to do what they do. And so to me, that's about as good of a situation as you're going to get. You could have argued that this was going to be a major distraction in terms of cameras popping into every single AB. Hasn't been the case. It's made the team a little bit steadier in their lineup. And everybody, is in a good a position as I've seen them, be in
the
last 6 weeks.
But Clinton doesn't like their brand of baseball. Oh, okay. All right. And it's not World Series or bust for the New York Yankees. What do you Page, where do you come down on that?
Yeah, Clinton's here talking about branding, not about the team's performances. But it went from 15 and a half games, the Yankees did, down to 3.5 that they were leading the division by. So who are we going to get in the postseason? Are we going to get that team that struggled mightily during the middle of the season or the one that's won 8 of its last 9 games? I don't think you know that. I felt this morning like they are the MLLs, meaning most likely to lose in the early rounds of the playoffs when they finally get past their bye. I just don't think overall I'm not disagreeing with Clinton. I just don't think they're really that good and that persistent and that consistent.
Okay.
So
I'll give Clinton the point back. And we recognize, Clinton, what you're saying. You don't like their brand of baseball. It's the home run or nothing style of baseball that they've been playing for the last decade. Tim Kalishaw, expectation for this team now that they've been able to sturdy the ship a bit?
I'm kind of with everybody else. I don't have very high expectations. A lot of really good teams slow down toward the end of the season. The Yankees are 34-36 over the last 70 games. That's a long time to be chugging along at just under 500. I don't think their starting pitching scares anybody. It's certainly not at Houston's level, and it might not be at Cleveland's level if that's who they end up playing in the first round that they play. So they obviously have a few bats that bother people, but some of the hitters still aren't healthy. I just don't think they're primed to do much in October.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, I think Houston is the team to beat, and I've thought that all season long, but I'm not going to dismiss the Yankees, and I'm not going to say that the Yankees in New York City go into a season playing just to be in the playoffs. They go into the season to win the World Series, and you can't argue with anybody about that. In the Bronx, they expect this team to win it all, and I expect them to go into the postseason thinking they can win it all.
That 2020 vision from Kevin Blackstone, of course. Real quick, the strategy here, all right? We saw a lot of full counts, but 4 walks to Aaron Judge, Clinton Yates last night from the Toronto Blue Jays. You're all right with that?
I'm 100% all right with it. First of all, he leads the league in full counts this season. That should be a big part of why your offense is getting better because, hello, people are seeing more stuff and you're adding up pitch counts in situations where you otherwise wouldn't have to deal with that. I think it's great for this lineup.
I think it's important that nobody can accuse the Toronto Blue Jays of serving him up beach balls.
Okay.
They actually.
Yeah. I mean.
So, I mean, that's been the accusations lately.
It's been a week
people are
now.
Trying to let him hit him.
Sometimes these things get a life of their own. It's been a week now, but if the team's winning, I don't think there's too much pressure on Judge. We'll move on. Football now. Las Vegas Raiders, 0-3. Already resorting to closed-door meetings with the owner. This team made the playoffs last year. They added Devontae Adams. And they changed coaches. Josh McDaniels, the head coach this year. Woody Page around the horn to you. Fair to question Josh McDaniels after this first start?
Absolutely. I'm familiar with him. He was the coach of the Denver Broncos. Guess what? He hasn't won a game as a head coach since November 10th of 2010. I mean, that's 12 years. Right. We know what's happened in between. I like him as an offensive coordinator, but there's been a lot of offensive and defensive coordinators who couldn't become head coaches. And look at Bill Belichick's coaching tree. It's got a lot of withered branches when you think about it. There's 10 guys that have coached in the NFL that were training under Belichick, and it didn't work out for them. So far, if you look at the overall talent on that Raiders club, even though they spent a lot of money during the offseason, Adams has been the only one that really has emerged from that. They have a terrible offensive line. It's not all of Josh's fault, but he's the one there. He's going to get all of the criticism.
And Kalishaw.
Well, I would just say, other than Peyton, I'm not dismissing Peyton Manning. He had a two-year run with the Broncos. Other than that, two-year run of success. Other than that, the only coach to win a playoff game the last 15 years in Denver is named Josh McDaniels. His time there wasn't successful, but he did have that
Woody's
brief moment
his head.
Where they
no, he knows it.
Pittsburgh and moved on to
Fox
the next round.
No, Fox was that. That wasn't
McDaniels. I think it's too early to panic. I think the only thing they've done that's really bad, and it's pretty bad, is blow a 20-0 lead against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's not a team that you should let. Not a team you should let come back on you and win and get into overtime the way Kyler Murray did and all the rest. They do have offensive line problems. They've still got defense. They've still got Carr throwing to Adams and Waller. That will play out. They got to play the Chargers a bunch. They got to play the Broncos and the Chiefs a bunch. They'll have time.
Evan, is 3 weeks too early to think, did we get this right when we were getting rid of an interim coach that got us to the playoffs and brought in a new coach?
Exactly, because you handed the new coach, who hasn't been successful as a head coach, a playoff team. 10-7 last year. Started last year 3-0, by the way. So I don't think it's too soon to start wondering why you jettisoned someone who got you in the playoffs and had a lot of emotion on that team. And now you've apparently improved, or so we said in the media, improved your roster in the offseason, and then you're off to this start. It's not a good look, and if I'm not mistaken, since the year 2000, teams that start out 0-3 don't have a very good chance of making the playoffs.
Clint Yates.
Yeah, I wish Tim Kalishaw was one of my parents in high school. Three strikes, you're not out. You'll be fine. But listen, Tony, I tell you all the time, good teams beat bad teams. That's why they're good teams. Bad teams lose to either good teams or other bad teams. Every single team that the Raiders have lost to, the only team those teams have beaten are the Raiders. All right, this is not good news. That team is in a terrible position.
I was wondering
right now.
Where you were going.
Definitely time to hit the panic button.
Very small sample there.
Raiders-Broncos this weekend. That is Josh McDaniels versus Nathaniel Hackett in the coaching matchup. Could come with a parental warning, maybe. Mature audiences only. We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Have you and Monty kind of been able to move on?
I haven't spoken to
Monty.
I haven't spoken to him ever since the game.
I haven't talked to a bunch of our guys. I've had interactions with everybody, but talking to guys about deep stuff, there's a number of guys I haven't talked to.
Tim? What are you buying? What are you selling from DeAndre Ayton and Monty Williams?
I'm selling that Monty Williams doesn't think there's a need to to do that after one of your best players, who you now have a $130 million commitment to, got basically run off the game by the Mavericks offense, their five-out offense, and you haven't even sat down to discuss kind of the altercation you had at the end of game or in the third quarter of game seven. You've had 4 months to do it. That's
so that's weird. On the coach for you. Woody Page?
Yes.
How about you?
I'm agreeing with Tim. I mean, the coach hasn't tried to clear up the situation in the last game last year when you had a verbal confrontation on the sidelines and you took him out with 8:30 to go in the third quarter, never played him again, and you end up getting him back for 4 years for $133 million. I don't think this is going to work out, this relationship, at all.
Clint Yates.
I'll buy it. He probably didn't think the guy was even going to be on his team the next season. And even if he was, they needed some room to breathe. And I'm buying it for this reason as well. Ayton said, I'm coming back all business. If that's what you're getting out of Ayton as a result of whatever happened in the offseason, that's a plus as far as I'm concerned for the Suns.
Okay. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
No, I'm with Clinton. I'm buying it as well. I mean, that's a tape that you throw in the incinerator and you never look at it or visit it again. It was the off season. What are they supposed to do? You show up for training camp, you get back to business. We had a long break in August. I didn't call Tony Reale to talk about the last scoring that he gave me in July, which was absolutely horrific.
Okay. I appreciate it. You could have called me, Kevin. You know, it would have been nice to hear your voice. I mean,
change your number.
Well, the point is, Woody, Woody's saying that. He didn't even think he was going to be on the team, which everybody thought he was going to be on the team after the way it ended. And this may be a byproduct of having, a front office that's in complete disarray to begin with because of everything that's going on with ownership. I don't know. Watching this play out is going to be interesting. We'll move on. U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. 0-0 versus Saudi Arabia. Catatonic in another World Cup tune-up. Did you see this? Christian Pulisic subbed out. Tossed the captain's armband to his teammate instead of handing it to him. And then, he didn't dap up Greg Berhalter either. Berhalter describing the result as one about confidence and the confidence not being there for the squadron right now. Clinton Yates, what do you buy? What do you sell?
I'm selling all of this. I'd like to go back to the match against Japan in which they had exactly zero shots on goal. Then I said, that's 3 out of 5 what are we doings on the 12-man scale. After this match in which they got outshot by Saudi Arabia again, 5 out of 5 what are we doings. Get it together, Berhalter. This is not a tune-up. Y'all are tuned out.
Woody Page.
I'm selling our team. I know we're supposed to be supportive, but I hate to tell you people.
You don't have to.
This team is not any good. It's not going to win the World Cup. It's not probably going to win a game in a World Cup. And guess what? After a tie with Saudi Arabia, nobody from Liv Goff or Greg Norman came to hire any of these players to be a part of that.
All right. Tim Kalishaw.
You know, I get that there's nothing at stake, and I get that those are empty seats in Spain. That doesn't exactly get the juices flowing, but you're playing the 53rd ranked team in the world. Get more than 2 shots on goal. Get something generated. You don't have that many times to play with each other till you get to the World Cup.
And Blackstone.
I'm selling that this is any way to ramp up for the World Cup. You know what Germany and England just did a couple of days ago? They played to a 3-3 tie. I mean, they were balling out. That's the way you
get prepared. Okay, but that was England's first game that they played in months where they were even the semblance of a squadron. They still have some very real problems, too, in that example that you're getting there. Jordan Pipak. I mean, he's dominating the Bundesliga. He's not on this roster right now. Pulisic, who missed the last World Cup. Now we're going to see him against the greatest stage. They're completely disconnected. Not great, Bob. Not great. Woody Page, Tim Kalishaw. Thanks for the time today. Clint Yates, Kevin Blackstone. Showdown coming your way in 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Clinton Yates, Kevin Blackstone, good luck in showdown last night. Marlins, Mets, 3 balks in one at-bat. Richard Bleier last night went around the horn himself, and not in a good way. He argued about it. He was ejected. Clinton Yates, you blaming umpire or Bleier here?
I'm blaming Bleier. Listen, Tom Payne, the first base ump, he's umped a couple of different playoff series. He's not a rookie. But that can't happen getting to three. Make an adjustment after one, never mind two. If you get to a third one, you're obviously just trying to make a point, and you ended up getting run for it. Not smart.
Bone? Well, I'm going to blame the umpire. I mean, come on. It's September, last week of baseball. What are we talking about here? One team, it doesn't really matter. Let's just – you're going to call three balks? No, just call one, and let's move on. Get the game over with. Come on.
Get the game over with maybe the best point there. But it does matter to the Mets. They've been first for 170 days in the last 172, and now they're back to being tied. But nobody knows what the balk is. Nobody knows what a balk is. That's the point here. Yes, and he stopped. He did stop. That's why I'm not giving the point to you, Clinton. We'll move on. Dolphins-Bengals tomorrow. Matchup of Tyreek Hill, Eli Apple. These two plain don't like each other. Last year, AFC Championship game. Apple had a tackle on Hill that went a long way for Cincy to win the game. Now they're meeting with different teams. Bengals teammates say they have Apple's back. Kevin, how many Bengals will take for an apple to corral a hill?
That's a good question. I would say it'll take about three. But whatever you do, at least have one Bengal behind Tyreek Hill at all times. I mean, the other day we just saw him running through the field, nobody near him. That's ridiculous. Can't do that.
It's going to take one actual Bengal tiger, just like those white helmets that they're breaking out on Thursday. Forget about Eli Apple. Why are you talking about that guy? You just came off the biggest win of your season, and you're mentioning him? He's already lost a psychological battle, Tyreek Hill. No need to talk about that, dude. Mm-hmm.
White helmets. Thanks for reminding me about that. No, I'm excited. Point. Yates, showdown three, Dick Butkus, Bears Twitter takeover. You're looking at it. Hello? And some pocket tweets. And maybe he's searching for, you know, restaurants in his vicinity. Who knows? He doesn't mean to tweet this. He doesn't mean to tweet that. He does mean to tweet this. Clinton, grade the takeover.
A plus. It reminds me of the Bears offense. False start, illegal motion, illegal shift, delay a game, and then you got to call a timeout. We love this, Butkus. Please, more of him.
We don't love this. Please, can we get Dick Butkus away from social media? This is an embarrassment. What is this guy doing? He doesn't even know how to operate his own phone, for goodness sakes.
Oh, my goodness. This is the Bears offense. That is fire take from Yates and getting FaceTime.
If you don't know, America's fastest growing sport is something that happens on a court with rackets. It's not tennis. It's called pickleball. And now LeBron James is investing in a new franchise in Major League Pickleball because the league is expanding from 12 to 16. Listen, there are members of this show that play this game quite a bit. I'm not one of them, but you know how I know how good it is? Because Venice Beach, California, where I live, is a hotbed, a powerhouse of pickleball. And every Saturday morning, I go down there and I drink my tea and I watch those guys play. So I welcome the expansion of pickleball to the American sports landscape.
You watch them play
pickleball?
Hey, LeBron was talking about maybe going back to college, get his college eligibility to play a sport. Pickleball. Fordham University. Let's get a pickleball team and get LeBron.
Tee away.